Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. The Carolina Panthers have been a disappointment to fans for a long time. Last year's 2-15 season was a league-worst record. We made a trade with the Bears and lost out on the number one draft pick. Quarterback Bryce Young underperformed, and the team fired the coach. But hope springs eternal. At least it does when a new season starts, and that is about to happen. Preseason games are underway, and so far we've lost both the games we played, but most of the team's starters were not on the field. So that makes it impossible to tell if a new head coach has made much of a difference or what the future may hold, but that won't stop us from talking about it. So to take us through it, here we go. We have Deshaun Brown with us and Nick Carboni also. Deshaun is a reporter for WSOC-TV who covers sports, and Nick is sports director at WCNC-TV and Charlotte Observer sports columnist and truth teller to David Tepper and more. Scott Fowler is also with us. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
So, Nick, I'm going to start with you. After last season, Panthers fans are looking for a reason to believe, a reason to keep on pounding. They're looking for some hope and change to kind of tie into the convention here. Can you discern any reason for that becoming a reality from what we have seen so far in the preseason or even during the offseason?
I can. And first of all, Mike, I think, you know, people outside the NFL may not realize how hard it is to go 2-15. That's honestly not easy in the NFL, where it is built for parity. So I think relative to a 2-15 season, there should be hope that we should have a better 2024 from the Carolina Panthers. But more than that, I think that Bryce Young is poised and mentally ready to take a step in the right direction. We'll see how far he can go in that direction for his second season. And new head coach Dave Canales seems to be the right fit from a personality standpoint, an energy standpoint, and even an X's and O's standpoint for this team. And they've made a variety of other moves I'm sure we'll get into. But those are the two biggest reasons I think they will have a better than 2-15 season at the very least.
I want to get Scott and Deshaun's take on that and see if they agree or disagree with you. Deshaun, I'll start with you. Have you seen anything that gives you hope?
You know, one of the biggest things that I've noticed so far really has been the response from the people surrounding all of the change, with the change in the coaching staff, specifically Dave Canales, and just the energy that's now exuding from the roster. I dare not read too much into that this early because we really haven't seen them competing against another opponent in an actual game. However, the way that players have responded to Canales' energy, the buy-in that they seem to have at this point in the year is tangible. And I think there is something to be said for coaches within this era that are successful, having that sort of buy-in from the roster to get the best out of your guys. I mean, I've seen a lightness among some of the guys who've been through the worst that this organization has seen in the last few years. So that, I think, is a tangible reason for fans to be optimistic. I dare not overpromise that means a playoff team or a Super Bowl run at this point, but it feels like the building blocks are there to build some level of success, in addition to the experience that they do have. Canales, his track record with quarterbacks, the fact that they have continuity among the defensive staff that has shown that they can get the best out of their players and put forth the top five defense. So there are pieces there that allow us to believe that it is possible, but also just the way that players have responded to him, I think, is meaningful.
Scott, you want to add to that?
Sure, Mike. Thanks for having me on again. And what I would say in terms of reasons for hope is particularly last Thursday. So, Mike, as anyone who's followed this a little bit knows, the Panthers have not played their starters, as you mentioned, at all in the preseason game. So it's hard to say really what you're, you know, because it's like going to, it's like a rock band deciding not to have a sound check. They are just going straight to opening night. There is nothing out, you know, oh, the mics work? We don't really know, but we're going to go ahead on out there. That's what they're going to end up doing. I don't think they'll play them again Saturday either. All that said, last Thursday, they had what they call a controlled scrimmage against the New York Jets. They played everybody. The Jets played everybody. They played Aaron Rodgers. They played all, and it was, yes, you couldn't tackle the quarterback, but everything else was pretty real. And in that, the Panthers acquitted themselves very well. It was the first time, Mike, that I sort of felt, wait a minute, they actually might be okay, because they played very well in that. Bryce Young threw several touchdown passes, and it made me think, yeah, it's not going to be 2-15 again. It may not be, you know, they may not get but to more like 6 wins instead of 2, but they're not going to be the worst team in the NFL anymore.
We're going to talk some about how the approach to the preseason and why you would wait until opening day to put everybody on the field for the first time. But we'll get to that in a second. New head coach Dave Canales and general manager Dan Morgan say, Nick, that they want to bring a new attitude to this team, a championship attitude. Must you win games to instill that attitude, or can you put that in place before the wins start in order to make the wins start?
That's a great question, Mike. I think ultimately it has to come with the results on the field. Winning games, multiple games in a row, having multiple winning seasons in a row, something this franchise has yet to do, and contending for championships and playoff spots year in and year out. But what I think that Dave Canales and Dan Morgan want to do to get to that point is bring people in that have kind of that same mentality. General manager Dan Morgan, for those who don't know, played with the Panthers in the early and mid 2000s and was the Luke Kuechly before Luke Kuechly. He had a specific attitude on the field, and now he's very buttoned up as general manager, but you can see when he brings guys in, he wants them to have that same attitude that he and others did when the Panthers were successful. So for them, I think it starts with bringing who they deem to be the right guys, or as Dan Morgan so eloquently calls them, dogs, and that they will set the tone and set the culture for that winning in the future. So I think it starts with that for them.
And Deshaun, Dan Morgan, I think it was on Saturday during halftime, he spoke on the local Panthers radio broadcast about a couple of topics, including quarterback Bryce Young and putting together a competitive roster. And he's about to have to trim that roster from 90 to 53 in preparation for the regular season. He said he feels good about the people that he has to choose from. From what you've seen, do you share that confidence? Do others have reason to share that confidence?
I mean, they've certainly done an incredible job of shoring up the offensive line. That was clearly the area of focus based on where they spent their money in protecting Bryce Young. And that was one of the first moves they made. So I do feel it's some of the key areas that were challenges last year, weaknesses last year, they have addressed, providing more weapons for Bryce Young with the addition of wide receiver Deontay Johnson. They've made some of these moves, but depth is still a challenge at some of these key positions, the guy behind the guy. So it really will be a test of time when injuries become an issue, as we've started to see during camp. So it really is not just the starters, but the next man up. And that's something you hear in the NFL all the time. I think we've all seen how quickly the next man up is called up. And that is one of the challenges that this team is facing right now, is not some of the immediate needs, but the next guy behind the guy. I did want to echo one point Nick made also regarding Dan Morgan and whether winning is necessary at this stage. I find it very interesting, the timing of his promotion into general manager, as someone that's played with the organization, was a part of one of the worst seasons prior. So he's been through this, and I feel like would have one of the more genuine connections to what it feels like to hit rock bottom as an organization and what it takes to rebuild. So it will be interesting to see how his personal experience also comes into play now, being in that position at a time where this team is rebuilding again.
You've already talked, Scott, about the hope that you gleaned from watching the Jets-Panthers scrimmage in which the starters did play each other. And Deshaun just talked about what Scott Morgan said on Saturday during his interview on the radio, where he said that they went out and they got the weapons, his words, that they needed to surround Bryce Young with. He said, "We think a lot of Bryce. We think his future is bright, but we've got to do our job." From what you saw on Saturday, or whenever it was that the scrimmage took place, did you see that they've done that?
Partially. I think they have, you know, Nick was mentioning that Dan Morgan said in the offseason that they needed to find some more dogs. We had a debate at the Observer on this, whether you spell dogs in that sense, D-O-G or D-A-W-G. We think it's D-A-W-G. Is the type that Dan Morgan's talking about. I think they have some. I don't think they have their full allotment yet. Those wide receivers that Sean mentioned, it's definitely better. They're not going to, you know, Mike, they got shut out the last two games last year, 0-0. That is super hard to do in the NFL. Almost always you're going to at least get a field goal. They won't be getting shut out. I'll go ahead and predict no shutouts this year. They will not score 0 points in any games. It's gotten somewhat better. There's a long way to go, though.
There were misgivings, Scott, from the beginning last year about Bryce Young, and it only got worse as the season went on, I suppose. Explain the coaching staff's confidence in this young man that perhaps may not be witnessed or believed in by the fans.
Right. The first thing you see with Bryce is that he's only 5'10", and he looks very slight for an NFL quarterback, who generally are 6'2 or 6'4. And, you know, Cam Newton was 6'5 and 250, and Bryce is half a foot shorter and 50 pounds lighter. What the Panthers see in him, though, is he has, you can't really see it in there, but his brain is an absolute computer. He can figure things out quicker, process things quicker. If he has just a little bit of time, knows where to throw the ball. This was what happened in college, at least at Alabama. That's why he was picked number one overall, because he's such a processor. Unfortunately, they didn't even give him enough time to do that last year because he was so much running for his life. But that's what they want to see this year, is these quick decisions. He's supposed to throw the ball in 2.7 seconds or less, which is really fast, but that's where we think the improvement will be.
And of course, not all of the problems, as you've alluded to, were his last year. It was the fact that they didn't have sufficient protection for him surrounding him on these plays. So, Nick, what kind of signs should we look for as fans to really begin to believe in Bryce Young and to believe that the Panthers have done what they can to help him?
I think one clear sign that you'll see or not right away is whether or not he's standing up after the play. Bryce Young was sacked 62 times last year, which was one of the worst totals for any quarterback in NFL history, especially a rookie. And to that point that Scott just made about getting the ball out in 2.7 seconds, he barely had that on most dropbacks last year. But I think some of the other things that you'll see is that Dave Canales, in a pass-happy NFL, right? Everybody wants to throw the ball down the field and have these track meet-style offensive games. Dave Canales has told us from day one, and he has not backed off the fact that he wants to run the ball. And the investment they made in the two guards in the middle, they gave massive deals to two massive guys, Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis. They are run blockers first. That is kind of their MO. So and it is as well for the other two offensive linemen on the outside and Austin Corbett at center. Running the ball, the hope is, will set up Bryce Young for better success to make those quick passes.
So this is a rebuilding season, and yet we've seen no evidence of it on the field because we haven't seen any of the starters on the field. So we'll talk when we come back about this approach to the preseason and what it means in a moment. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and WFAE.org. I'm Mike Collins. The last game of the three-game preseason that the Panthers are playing is this weekend, this Saturday, and then the season begins. And so in advance of that, we're talking with three people who cover this as part of their lives, their jobs. Nick Carboni is WCNC-TV sports director. Dejon Brown covers sports and other things for WSOC-TV. And Scott Fowler is the sports columnist for the Charlotte Observer. Dejon, the Panthers lost all of their preseason games last season and then finished the season 2-15. They've lost the first two preseason games this year. In fairness, once again, they are not playing their starters. Should they be, or are these early games that lead up to the roster cut to see who performs best and who should stay and who should go?
Well, I'll start with this. I can understand under these current circumstances the hesitation to play many of their starters right now. And the one caveat to this is I can see the injury concerns that the coaching staff has right now. And speaking with Dave Canales over the last few days, that's been one of the points that he has continued to mention in making the decision. He hasn't given a hard, fast no, although I do feel it's unlikely that they will play those starters. But he's mentioned time and time again, just wanting to make sure that they can send all of their guys out if you're going to put your starters in that situation. To this point, we're still seeing guys come back onto the field. Chuba Hubbard, their starting running back, had a scare with his knee in joint practice. We've seen injuries along the offensive line, just injuries across key spots in the roster. Their starting cornerback right now will be out 6-ish weeks is what we were told. So that seems to be the hesitation and for a team that has had struggles in the last years, to say the least. I can understand the hesitation. I also understand the perspective of just giving them that opportunity to go out there as a unit, to get those live game reps, to build some of that momentum going into the regular season. Although I think it's highly unlikely right now with them still trying to get key guys healthy for the start of the regular season.
Scott, to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you disagree with Coach Dave Canales' approach to the preseason of not using starting players in the preseason. You say a 2-15 team from 2023 that doesn't play its starters in the preseason is downright weird. That's a word that seems to be going around these days. But isn't the trade-off potentially losing those players, as Dejon just said, to injury? Isn't it smart not to put them up there until you absolutely have to?
Well, there is an argument to be made for that. My compromise would be to play them a little bit, like in one game, play them three series or something like that. And then other than that, sit them. The NFL has been going this way, though. But to me, Mike, it's like, okay, I'm going to use a different analogy. I said the rock band, but let's think about a Broadway play for a second. Normally, you open a Broadway play off Broadway in St. Louis or something. Then you take it to New York. In this case, their lead actor is shaky. You know, they don't know if Bryce Young really can do it or not. The financing's a little bit iffy. I mean, I'd open the thing in St. Louis for at least a week, give yourself a chance before you just go into New York and you get blistered. But what do I know? I'm sitting here and Dave Canales is doing it his way. I'll say that.
I think it's amazing you brought that up, because I was going to bring that up next. And that's because, as you know, Scott, I know nothing about this at all. Zero. But I do know
get in your wheelhouse there.
Thank you. I do know a little bit about theater. And I was going to use that analogy because this preseason.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. This preseason roster cut, you could compare to auditions and callbacks for a play, where everybody comes in, you bring some people back to look at them again, and then you make your decision on who's going to be what part. And to be your best, you have to rehearse. So can players get the rehearsal they need during practices, or do they need to be playing against other teams, or does everybody hold back in a preseason, both sides, so it doesn't really matter, Nick?
Yeah, and Sean McDermott, the head coach of the Bills, formerly a Panthers assistant, has said that he's not going to play his starters on Saturday against Carolina. Dave Canales says that's not going to affect his decision. I'm a proponent of seeing this Panthers, especially offense, out there a little bit, and I think that's even more reason to put them out there, because they have more of a chance for success, more of a chance to build that rapport and chemistry and to have some confidence going into week one of the regular season. But it's a fascinating conversation that's really been the dominant conversation among the Panthers fan base this offseason, this training camp, because this is really Dave Canales' first big decision as head coach. There are two options. He'll choose one of them. You know, we'll find out Saturday what it ultimately is. And then he can be judged on it, yeah, fairly or unfairly, that first time the offense takes the field week one. But this is a trend, as Scott says, that's really been happening the last 4 or 5 years. And I think the COVID season, when the preseason really and training camp at large really entirely got knocked out, and then the NFL went on to have a, you guessed it, another wildly successful season, as awkward as it may have looked offensively for the first couple of weeks, they were able to do it then. And I think it's only going to continue this way. You're going to have an 18-game regular season and a 2-game at maximum preseason that's really going to be for evaluating the bottom of the roster players.
Well, they used to have 4 preseason games. Mm-hmm. Now they have 3 preseason games. And Scott, you recently wrote a column in which you insisted that the NFL preseason had become a joke. Is that why? Because nobody's playing any of the regulars? They're all bringing in ringers from Myers Park High School? Is that the deal?
Yeah, more or less. I don't know if the Myers Park High School guys would be super happy to play in those games, I'm sure. But they just don't mean anything to, you know, they're charging people money still to come to these games. Yes, it is less than a regular.
Not much.
Season, but it's, yeah, right. But it's something, and it just, to me, the whole concept's just irretrievably broken, sort of like Nick and Deshaun were saying. To me, yes, you go to an 18th regular season game. They have 17 right now. Go to an 18th game. Don't have any preseason games anymore. Just have a couple of these controlled scrimmages, which obviously they all prefer anyway. That way you can keep your quarterbacks clean, and they're not going to get hit and all that stuff. And, you know, just that's the way I think it is indeed heading that direction. But it's the NFL is often moves like an iceberg. It's slow.
So, Deshaun, we talked a bit about the coaching staff wanting to rebuild a new identity for this team and to build confidence and a winning attitude in them. And since none of the starters are playing in the preseason, all of that has to happen, it seems to me, behind the scenes. How are they approaching that? How do you do that if you can't build confidence by having players on your team who are the starters play other starters on other teams and see how they're doing? How do you do it?
One of the things that the coach, Dave Canales specifically, has really honed in on was the joint practice from last week. That really seems to be where they put their bread and butter in terms of getting those reps that you would otherwise get in a preseason game. He even gave the analogy of it being a much more controlled scrimmage because they're able to identify among both coaching staffs, in this case, the Jets and the Panthers, what specifically they need to work on for both those teams. So they are saying that they've been able to get some of that through that controlled environment. Of course, they had one joint practice, whereas last year there were scheduled to be 2. So there was that one instance. So there appears to be some level of satisfaction with what they were able to gain there. But it really is going to be a wait and see challenge because they haven't been playing starters in the preseason. We haven't really seen them getting the live reps in that environment. And I can think to last week and speaking to some of the players, they mentioned how there are some elements in the stadium under the lights with the fans present where it's just different. That's something that you can't always replicate. So it really is a wait and see. But as far as the coaching staff and all those in the decision-making room or who are part of that process, they've really put their bread and butter in that joint practice with the Jets in an environment they feel that they could best control.
Scott, we've talked about this before when it comes to the Panthers and Charlotte FC. To put it nicely, David Tepper is known for changing coaches rather quickly. We've had more than a few during his tenure as an owner of this team, and the last two coaches did not last a full season. What do you see as Dave Canales' prospects here? Will he get a full season, or is he on a short leash?
I think, Mike, not only is he going to get one, I would bet you he'll get at least 2. I think Dave Tepper really has backed away this year. He's really tried. It looks to me like he's trying to let it play out. and let Dave Canales have a true honeymoon period. So I think that at least 1 year. Now, if they, you know, if they go 2-15 again, maybe not a second year, but I really would bet a lot that he will not be fired like mid-year. To give you just a sense of Dave Canales' personality, Mike, we were talking about dogs earlier, but Dave Canales is sort of the golden retriever of head coaches. He is so happy, relentlessly enthusiastic. It's honestly kind of contagious. I mean, you walk out of a room with Dave Canales, you're ready to go run through a wall or something. He really does have a real charisma to him. And I think he is getting through to the players. He's young, that helps. He's got young children. I mean, it's a lot different than say Frank Reich, who could have been, you know, in some cases, those players' grandfather. Dave Canales is more of their generation. So I think he's going to, no leash with Dave Tepper is ever really long, but this one is at least medium.
And Nick, wouldn't it be wise to think long-term here to give the coaching staff and these players that they decide on a chance to gel, to see if it all works? It's not going to happen out of the gate.
Absolutely, Mike. And I think to Scott's point, David Tepper seems to be realizing that. That patience, that newfound patience is going to be tested, you know, probably right away. So we'll see how he handles that. But David Tepper came into this ownership as a longtime NFL fan, and he wanted to put a team on the field that won right away. That did not happen with his first coach, Matt Rhule, who got 2.5 seasons. It did not happen, obviously, with Frank Reich, who got 11 games. So I think he's finally realized maybe that's the road we should take now, that he probably should have taken at the beginning, was hiring somebody who can implement a long-term plan, both Dave Canales and Dan Morgan as general manager, and let things play out, let what they're trying to do settle in over the course of 2, maybe 3 seasons to find that success, instead of trying to find it right away with the snap of a finger.
Deshaun, a new approach to this or not, clearly something has to be done here, because in a recent survey, Panthers fans were labeled as the unhappiest in the league. First of all, do you agree with that? And is the pressure on now because of that for a winning season? Will that pressure inform how David Tepper approaches his approach to demanding more now?
I'll start with your first question. I am the resident optimist, I would imagine, but it's pretty hard to deny toward the end of the season just what you saw in the stadium, what you felt in the stadium. I mean, fans just weren't there. There was no energy there. It was lifeless. So it's really hard to argue the experience that we have physically seen as, you know, fans are watching season after season, for really for the last 5 seasons, the team progressively get worse. So there is valid reason. It's a performance-based business and the team has not performed well. So I'll start there. Fans are... sorry, Mike, I thought you were going to say something. And to your other point, just regarding, remind me of your second question, I'm sorry.
Second question would have been, is the pressure on for a winning season, and how will that pressure inform David Tepper's approach?
Okay, thank you. I would say that it's already started. I think back to the introductory news conference of Dave Canales and Dan Morgan together. And I'm thinking back to the previous hire, which was almost a year to the date before, when they introduced Frank Reich. And we spoke to both Frank Reich and David Tepper. And at this particular news conference, as he was introducing sort of the new era of Panthers football with Dan Morgan and Dave Canales, David Tepper took a step back and did not speak. He really allowed the both of them to take the stage, to set the expectations, to state their vision. And we really haven't heard from him in many instances since. So it feels like, at least at this stage, it's hard to say how things will play out, that he has taken an intentional step back, at least from a media perspective, and allowing them to lead and allowing their vision to be stated and executed as they see fit. Time will ultimately be the judge of this, but at the offset, it appears that they're trying to do things differently.
Nick, Deshaun just mentioned the mood in the stadium last year with a lot of empty seats and just a lifeless atmosphere, and the NFL does not like to see empty seats on television. And I know that they make their money mostly on television and other side gigs. The season tickets and the ticket prices are part of it, but it's not the major part of it. But by the end of last season, you could get seats in the stadium for $8 to $10. How unusual is it for an NFL game to be for entry into an NFL game for $8? How unusual is
that? I mean, that's incredibly unusual, Mike. You look at trying to buy tickets to the Charlotte Knights for their home stand next week, and they put on a great product regardless of what's happening on the field, and you're more than likely going to pay more than $8. Now, some of that was probably dragged down by the Atlanta game, which was basically played in a monsoon, and there were some shots of the stadium where it wouldn't have filled most high school bleachers in Charlotte. The other part of the problem is when the seats have been relatively full at Bank of America Stadium the last 5 or 6 years, they've been full of fans from the other team. Now, the money all counts the same, but the visual and the vibes that that puts off is part of a losing culture. And I truly believe that the reason Matt Rhule got fired when he did is because I believe it was the San Francisco 49ers were in town that Sunday, and it was a sea of red at Bank of America Stadium. Now, his days were numbered to begin with, but when David Tepper saw that, and it's happened since, so that seems like more of a David Tepper problem at this point. That was the last straw, it seemed like.
And yet, with that as prologue, Nick, they're going to raise ticket prices this year. By how much? What does that bring the price for the average ticket to? How do they justify the increase? What has been fan reaction to this?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what this average season ticket price is going to be this year, but it just seems like the NFL, the NBA, and some of these top tier leagues are going to do it no matter what the record on paper was. And quite often they're going to be successful in still selling those tickets. You know, it is such a high priority league. It is such a highly viewed, highly followed league that they're basically counting on, well, you'll still come to the games. So we'll see how it plays out in Carolina.
Well, I have 20 seconds here, and I'm just curious if the fact that lots of people have to have PSLs to buy season tickets, and if you don't buy the season tickets, you lose your PSLs, does that kind of lock them in?
Yeah, it does, and it's a big decision for somebody to drop their PSL. As bad as the team has been, I think people are reluctant to do that.
So we have playoff hopes and dreams and aspirations. Are they a reality? We'll come back. We'll talk about that in a moment in Charlotte Talks. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking the Panthers' prospects for the new season, which starts in 2 weeks. Nick Carboni is with us, sports director at WCNC-TV. Deshaun Brown is a reporter who covers sports for WSOC-TV. And Scott Fowler is the sports columnist, or a sports columnist, with the Charlotte Observer. Scott, the Panthers have reportedly some of the worst odds of reaching the Super Bowl again this season. That is not a secret. But if the team knows it and the fans know it, are they rubbing salt in the wound by raising ticket prices?
Well, sure. Yes, absolutely. you hate to see ticket prices rise at all for a 2-15 team. That's not a good look. Has happened before here, as Nick points out, has happened in many NFL markets. Well, on the break, Mike, I just looked at Ticketmaster at my own account, and you can get verified resale tickets for Upper Deck Panthers for September 15th, which is their first home game, for $30 to $40 a piece. So it's, I would say, if you're just considering, you just want to sample the Panthers, you buy the resale tickets. They're way cheaper right now still than face value. And that's because people don't know how good they're going to be. You know, at some point, maybe they will be where you can't get it. You can't get in that stadium for less than $100. It was once that way when the Panthers were going to the Super Bowl in 2015. nowadays, this year probably, you can get into the upper deck for 30 or 40 bucks a piece for a ticket and try the wares, you know. And as you mentioned, the playoffs to me is a little bit of a pipe dream this year, but improvement is not. But Super Bowls and postseason and stuff, I mean, that's probably to me at least 2 years away. I'd love to be surprised because it's been tiresome covering a losing team for, you know, ever since 2017, they've lost every single year. But I think this year, more realistically, this is a team that triples its wins, but that still only gives you 6 wins.
Let me turn to the optimist then, Deshaun. if Panthers fans are already the unhappiest in the league, and if we don't make even one playoff game this year, or worse, have a season like we did last year, what happens then? What happens with the fans? What happens with the coaches, the player, the owner?
Well, I think I mentioned this a few points ago in terms of this being a performance-based business. So everyone has something on the line here to go out and win games. To Scott's point, you know, I certainly won't, even as the optimist of this conversation today, will not overpromise in terms of postseason dreams or Super Bowl hopes this year. But I do feel improvement is a reasonable expectation. It appears that is also a shared belief among the players. And I mentioned this before, you think about like the Detroit Lions and teams with a player's coach. Dave Canales seems to be that guy. And I just don't want to understate the value of having that buy-in, of having that sort of momentum in addition to the X's and O's. And they seem to be building that. But the timeline is just something that I do think fans, yet again, will need to be patient and realistic in terms of what that may look like, not getting it all this year, but at least seeing competitive games, at least seeing an offense that's able to move down the field, being in contention, which is not an unrealistic thought in the NFC South, the division that the Panthers are in. So there are strides they can make to make it a more palatable experience for the fans, to give them a reason to be patient. I think that's really the start, is give the fans something to hold on to, give the players something to hold on to as a reassurance and really confirming that we are moving in a winning direction.
A new coach, a new attitude, a new approach can give fans hope for the future, even before the first game is played. And that's happened already. But there was another change this year, Deshaun. They broke with tradition. They moved their training camp from Wofford College in Spartanburg, which I know dates back to a previous owner and the fact that he had connections with Wofford and the fact that Jerry Richardson wanted to make people understand that this was not Charlotte's football team. This was the Carolinas football team. I think people have adopted that attitude now to a great degree. So they've moved training camp this year to Charlotte. Was that an attempt, and did it work, to reinvest local people in this team that had such a terrible season last year? Or were there other reasons for moving the practices?
You know, I think there are likely many layers to this conversation in terms of moving training camp here to Charlotte. I think back to what I have seen over, well, now that camp is officially broken, there was a decent showing of fans, but it certainly is not what we've experienced in Wofford over the last few years, last few decades, for those that were here from the beginning, just in terms of just all of the fans from across the region that you would see show up at Wofford. There were a few times where, you know, it said sold out among the tickets, but it really wasn't that sort of atmosphere here. Although there were also other times where it seemed to be just a decent showing among fans. So I think it is still going to take some time to see just the local buy-in for a training camp. I would imagine it's still challenging during a work week, the timing of a lot of these practices this close to the school year, some challenges there. So I'm very curious long-term what this will look like in Charlotte, but there also seem to be some benefits. Some of the things that they've also tried to hold on to in terms of the tradition, you know, back when they were at Wofford, players would all stay together in the dorms. They replicated some level of that with younger players, those with 4 years or less, staying at a team hotel, trying to build some of that solidarity. So at this point, it appears that they're sampling some things from Wofford, but also the investment here in Charlotte for the local community. I don't know that I have the firm answer yet on was it the right move yet.
Nick, according to FanDuel, the Panthers are favored to miss the playoffs. And yet the Action Network describes the Panthers' schedule this season as the fifth easiest in the NFL, which may give folks some hope for our standing in the NFL or NFC South or whatever it is. But that same publication says that the Falcons and the Saints have it even easier than we do. So how much stock should we put in all of that?
Well, one of the benefits, if you want to call it a benefit, of having such a poor record the prior season, of course, one is a high draft pick. The Panthers did miss out on the number one pick because that was part of the trade to go and get Bryce Young the year before. But the other benefit is an easier schedule. You are going to be matched up for the most part against the teams that finished in the same spot as you in their respective divisions. So that is a way for the NFL to allow teams who struggle to try to build themselves back up. I don't know if they were favored in any individual game last year, again, which is very hard to do going in to be the underdog in all 17 games. I'm not sure which games they'll be favored in this year, you know, if we look at it ahead of the season. So every game is going to be tough. I think they will hopefully have some games you don't expect them to win that they'll win, but they'll probably frustrate at points too. To me, the Falcons are probably the favorite in the division, just looking at them. I'm not sure how much I buy the Saints. The Bucks are feeling the loss of their whiz kid play caller, Dave Canales, who's now with Carolina. So Panthers fans think maybe they got one over on Tampa Bay there.
So perhaps the Saints have it easier than we do because they're scheduled to play us twice, Scott. and the Panthers will start their regular season against New Orleans. We are a 4.5-point underdog. Does that set up our traditional rival for an opening game win?
Well, you would think so, because that game is in New Orleans. That's on September 8th. And that's a key date to circle because, as we mentioned earlier, I think all of us that I don't think they're going to play their starters on Saturday in this final preseason game. And then there's this kind of long interim period where nothing really happens. And the college football season opens, and that's fun. But in terms of the NFL, they don't start until after Labor Day. So the first real time that we're going to see whether these Panthers are any good or not will be in New Orleans. Very difficult place to play, Mike. There, it's inside in the Superdome. The noise reverberates there. It's one of the more difficult places to play. Doesn't mean you can't win. Certainly they can win. New Orleans is not that great. Nobody in the NFC South is that great. So there's some wins to be had there. They are in the correct division. They're not anywhere near, you know, some of these really difficult divisions in the other parts of the NFL. But as you mentioned, when you're 2-15, everyone's looking at you on the schedule and going, well, that's two that we'll get right there. We'll win twice. So hard to know, but we'll know a lot more on that date on September 8th.
Well, here's who's looking at those games and going, well, that's two we got. After the Saints, Deshaun, they play the Chargers, the Raiders, the Bengals, the Bears, followed by the Falcons and the Commanders and the Broncos. That takes us through the end of October, which is essentially the first half of the season. How many of those games do we have a shot at winning, do you think?
This is the challenge. You know, it is my hope, and I could see this team trending in that direction, that they're able to come out with at least six wins overall. So even within the stretch that you mentioned, I mean, there are some tough road games here for a team that's really not proven yet. I mean, that's the reality of where we are right now, is how will this team gel in these live game situations? So, you know, road tests are going to be huge. I feel like the first half of their season, they're on the road every other week. So we'll really get a sense of who they are outside of the stadium. And even when they come back, I mean, some of those non-conference games that they'll face early on are also going to be pretty challenging. So it's hard to say. I really do not know yet, because I think I'm also still figuring out who this team will be. I know who they tell us they want to be. And joint practice was definitely a good indication of the fact that they're competitive, that they're moving the ball, that their defense can stand up against one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But can they put it all together, and do they have the depth to do that? Those are questions that really aren't answered yet.
So the Panthers, Nick, have no place to go but up. New coach, new GM, new philosophy, a rebuilding career, rebuilding year or two, all of that absolutely necessary. But how long will the fans put up with it?
Yeah, and I think it's key that you point out those first couple of months of the season. That's where fans kind of come back into the fold, regain their optimism at this time of year, and then it's a matter of how long that optimism and that interest lasts. Looking at that stretch you pointed out, I think if they are able to pull off a win at New Orleans in week one, they could win three of those games, maybe four. It's hard to pinpoint which ones because, like I said, they could lose one that you expect them to win, and then they could surprise the Bengals at home somehow. I don't think that's going to happen. But for Panthers fans, I think it's a matter of how long they can remain interested before most fans check out, find other things to do on a Sunday afternoon. You can watch basically every NFL game in your living room now. We'll see how long they remain interested. The diehards will remain interested to see what things look like, even in a lost season. But the majority of fans will check out if it's not good.
Scott, at the very beginning of this calendar year, you wrote a column about last year's debacle of a season and what needed to be done for this year to be better. That was before Tepper fired general manager Scott Federer and hired Dan Morgan. It was after he fired Coach Frank Reich, and 20 days before it was announced he had hired Dave Canales as the seventh head coach that this team has had in its franchise history. Aside from those changes, has the team taken any action on any of your prescriptions that you wrote about in that column that you think will set them up for a better season?
Well, Mike, thank you for reading my old work, but I honestly barely remember writing even yesterday's column. So I'll,
well, let me read it to you. No, I'm just
if there's a prescription that you'd like me to specifically, yeah, maybe read me one or two sentences.
I don't know. You said at the time last year's season featured skilled players who didn't produce, an offensive line that revealed major weaknesses, problems with trades, a mid-season coach firing, what you referred to as the QB carousel. Have those issues been addressed, and or have new concerns cropped up for you?
Well, they have done pretty well, I'd say, in addressing those concerns. As we've mentioned, basically they've been mostly offensive concerns. They're trying to score more points. And if you're going to try to win the fans back, you have to score more points. It is far better to lose a game 30-27 than it is, you know, 10-0 or something like that. So that's where a lot of the money has gone. And you know, follow the money in the NFL just like anywhere else. That's where they're really, that's their priorities. So I think they are going to be more entertaining, slightly better. Have they followed all the prescriptions? No, they never do. I've been tilting at windmills here for a long, long time, but I think they followed some of them. You know, I think, honestly, I like Dave Canales so far. Seems like a pretty genuine guy to me. Bryce Young, I think the jury is still very much out. And, you know, if I was going to leave you with any thought, I'd say, this season depends on Bryce Young more than anything else. I mean, probably 50% of it is how much better Bryce Young is from last year, because last year was really a disaster in terms of his first year. And so he's got to be better. If he's better, all the boats will rise and they'll be better.
That's a lot of pressure to put on somebody like that. So I want to hear from each of you very quickly because we have a minute left. Any thoughts you have, any long-term future that you see for the team, what you think this season will be like? I'll start with Nick very quickly. Go ahead, Nick.
Sure. I think Scott's exactly right. It all hinges on Bryce Young's improvement. I think mentally he's overcome last season. Let's see if he can do it on the field. And I think everything kind of goes with that. And I think if you're watching this season, don't pay too much attention to wins and losses, but improvement from the quarterback is key.
I think I got Scott's opinion here, so I'm going to skip to the optimist. We'll end on optimism. Deshaun, your thoughts?
Man, I'm certainly hoping for more touchdowns this year to see this team in the end zone. But to echo both of the points already made, really progress is the name of the game, giving everyone a reason to believe that things are gradually getting better.
Deshaun Brown's a reporter who covers sports for WSOC TV Channel 9. Nick Carboni is sports director at WCNC TV. And Scott Fowler is the longtime brilliant sports columnist for the Charlotte Observer. Thank you all for the hour.
Celebrating 25 years on the air, Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Wendy Herkey. The senior producers are Gabe Altieri and Sarah D'Elia. Our engineer is Joby Sprinkle. For more information about Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or subscribe to the podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks. Additional support for WFAE programming comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at mazdaofsouthcharlotte.com.